Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 94.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Before we kick off, I actually just have to say I'm so excited because it is 17 degrees in Melbourne today. And you guys wouldn't know this, but because, well, I've moved house and so I'm recording under different circumstances and I've sorted it all out. But on 35 degree days, my house is like a sauna. And the last, I think maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, I actually had to stop recording halfway through one of them and like go and stand in front of the fan because you can't have a fan on when you're recording because it makes a noise. And Kelly was like, are you okay? Like, I nearly seriously.
Do I need to send an ambulance? Are you all right?
I'm just so excited. I'm even wearing UGG boots today, guys. I'm so excited. I hate summer. So I just wanted everyone to know how happy I am that I'm not standing in a pool of my own sweat while I'm recording today.
You should should have come and live in Perth for summer because we didn't have a summer this year. We had just a windy autumn and now we're into autumn, which is the best time of year in Perth. But, you know, unlike you, I really like summer and I'm like, where are my 37 degree days? Like, come on. Anyway.
See, I like summer, but I'd quite happily never have it go over 30 degrees.
That's not
for me, summer
girls.
Should be 25. That's, 25 is summer.
That's so you like spring.
I think I'm just a sweaty, gross person, so I don't like summer. But anyway, we'll kick off this episode the way we kick off all of our episodes by reading one of the gorgeous reviews from our listeners. Today's review is from Miss Always, and she says, I love how honest Kelly and Carly are about what works and what doesn't. No judgment or preachy weirdness, just straightforward chats with two cool ladies who get things done.
Oh, thank you so much, Miss Always. We so appreciate that because we do try our very hardest to stay away from preachy territory, although we do get up on our soapboxes sometimes, but it's good to know that we don't do it so often that
often enough to piss people off.
So often that we're like horribly judgy people. But it's nice to hear that we are succeeding in that regard. So, well, in your eyes at least. So, Carls, what are we chatting about today?
So we had two excellent requests from our listener, Julia, and we snapped both of them up. So this week, I think the other one, I can't remember what her other one was. Was it the things that are saving our lives episode came from Julia as well. And then she had an afterthought and added this one. And I was like, oh, that's a great one too. So thank you so much, Julia, for both of these suggestions. So her suggestion is for us to talk about movements, things, and people that our listeners should be following. So Kelly and I are both extremely discerning and we're not into bullshit at all. So I think that our collective list of things and people to follow is going to be pretty top notch. So Kelly, for you, what makes someone or something worth engaging in for you?
Yeah. So my main criteria, if I'm going to, first of all, I'll put my hands up and say, I don't like bandwagons and I'm kind of, I have this real contrary streak in me that if everybody's going left, I'm going to go right. So I have this inherent.
You totally do have that.
So I do have this inherent distrust of bandwagons. And so I'm hardwired that way anyway. But I do have a criteria that if I am going to get on, but then if I get on board with something, I'm like fully on board and I tend to go quite super fan. So it's a bit of an interesting dichotomy. But if I am going to get on board with a movement or a person to follow, it's really important to me that that thing or that person is inclusive, realistic, responsible, and non-dogmatic. So by that I mean, you know, by realistic and inclusive, it means the average person can do it. So this kind of basically eliminates everything that Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, recommends on Goop. Because, you know, you have to be like a super rich, skinny white girl to do all the stuff that she says.
But even also the stuff that she says is just ridiculous. And yeah. Like there was like drinking gold smoothies or something and like putting jade eggs inside her vagina. Yeah,
she does a lot of stuff with vaginas. It's a bit of a worry.
It's very strange.
So my other criteria with regard to it being responsible means that the advice has been tested and researched, and while it might not work necessarily for everyone, it definitely does no harm if you try it. And by non-dogmatic, I mean, I don't like movements where those people who spruik the movement, oh, they're fully evangelical and this is the only thing that you should do and this is the only way to do it and everything else sucks. I just can't get on board with that kind of stuff. So they're my kind of strict rules. What about you, Carls?
I'm absolutely the same. They need to be authentic, well-researched, reputable, and qualified. When I say qualified, I don't necessarily think that everyone needs to be have the highest, you know, tertiary education in everything that they do. But I got a really interesting email from someone last week who was wondering about my qualifications for being a self-improvement writer. And she was basically just saying, like, did you even have any formal writing training? And I got to write back and say, yeah, actually, I have a Bachelor of Education and a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism. I'm literally qualified in writing and teaching, and that's exactly what I do. So I don't think you need to have those qualifications, but it's nice to be able to kind of stick a middle finger up to people who think you're just spouting bullshit. But that's the thing. I think I don't necessarily think that you need to have proper qualifications in something. But for instance, there's a lot of people who are business coaches who have never run successful businesses before. I would never, ever follow someone or pay someone to teach me how to run a business who had no proof of having previously run a business.
And that's despite, you know, they could have an MBA, they could have gone to business school, they could have done any number of things. But yeah, so they're in theory qualified, but in reality, as you say, if they've not actually done the thing, then you and I are not going to listen to that person.
No, God, no. And I want solid proof that whatever the person is claiming that they're good at, they've actually done. I am a questioner. Show me your proof. So I will jump straight. Oh, so anyway, my whole thing is that I always like to know someone's background before I start investing in them. And if they just popped up out of nowhere and they don't seem to exist before this big thing that they're doing, I would back away very slowly and then tell all your friends to do the same thing.
Yeah.
I'll start. My first one is Deborah Frances White. So she's the host of the Guilty Feminist podcast. I only very recently discovered her and she's brilliant. I'm completely obsessed. So a lot of you would know from some of the conversations that we have that I struggle a lot with feminism. I don't struggle with the concept of being a feminist. I'm saying I am an incredibly staunch feminist, but this causes me a lot of grief sometimes because I've mentioned before that I really like looking pretty and I like standing next to tall men because they make me feel petite and all of that kind of crap. And this podcast just is a breath of fresh air when it comes to all that contradictory bullshit. And she's always got amazing guests like Sarah Millican and Celia Pacola and Hannah Gadsby. And she's a comedian, so it's always funny. And it's just it's one of those podcasts where you just can't wait for the new episode every week. And she's so smart and so funny. And she also does really amazing things. So not only is she a comedian and does the Guilty Feminist podcast, she also runs workshops for women in corporate environments to help them gain confidence and, you know, lean in more to their profession and to demand the same things that men get just accidentally by being men. And yeah, she's so great. And I had so many people recommend it to me and I was like, oh yeah, whatever. And then finally I listened to it and I was like, oh, thank you guys for persevering with making me listening to that because it's fab.
Oh man, I'm in the market for a new like go-to binge-worthy podcast. So I noticed you talking about it and I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to have to give that one a go because it does sound great.
It's pretty fab.
So my first thing is basically any food movement where the focus is on eating more vegetables and food close to the source. So that's things like, you know, Whole30, Paleo, I Quit Sugar, which Sarah Wilson is actually shutting down. So if you're interested in joining the I Quit Sugar program, you should get in quick.
And I think you should, absolutely, because I saw that was shutting down and I was quite upset about it because it's such
a great simple, program.
Easy program. And it just kind of teaches you what where sugar is and how to find it. And it's she's non-dogmatic. Like a lot of people, I mean, I have some issues with Sarah Wilson on some other things. She's anti-helmet, which
drives
me
nuts. Yeah, I can't do the anti-helmet thing as well.
It's like, you're not in Copenhagen, sweetheart. No, like we wear helmets in Australia because we're bad drivers and we don't know how to deal with cyclists. Yeah. But she's non-dogmatic in her I Quit Sugar stuff, and it's very accessible and easily digestible as well. So yeah, do it while you get the chance.
Yeah, and that's it. I know that any eating movement has its kind of, you know, real, I can't even think of the word, the people who are just like really militant about it and they follow all the rules exactly. But I do feel like if you approach these eating movements sensibly and just see that at their core, they're simply about getting more veggies, eating food close to the source, removing packaged and processed food from your diet, then you can't really go wrong. So following them exactly, like especially Whole30 is very like very restrictive, but the principles are all the same. And I think any eating, like if you're looking for an eating, diet or plan that you can get on board with, if that's the focus of those eating plans or those food movements, you can feel fairly safe that they're a good one to do. So yeah.
I completely agree. So my number two is something called the curly girl method. It's this bizarre, weird 90s curly hair method that for some reason has just become crazy popular in the last couple of years, but it's done amazing things for my hair. So I don't follow it 100%, but I try to use no silicone products on my hair because silicone makes your hair kind of like shiny and, flat. Squishy and sort of, yeah, and flat, which I hate. I need as much volume as possible in my hair. And it's actually like, I know that I have more voluminous hair than most people, but my hair was like full on white girl fro Diana Ross kind of situation in high school. And I've kind of just spent most of my adulthood trying to get my teenage hair back. And it's still pretty good, but yeah, silicones just don't mesh well with it. But there's a few products with silicone in it that I still do use because they give really good root volume. So if I'm going like to a party or a wedding or something and I want crazy amazing hair, I'll do that. But yeah, so full warning, once you delve into CG, it's a really steep learning curve to figure out what works. It's mental. There's also heaps of Facebook groups with it. And some of the Facebook groups are so weird. Like you go in there and you're not even allowed to mention non-curly girl approved products. So they have all of these like checklists and things of stuff that you're allowed to. I'm not that crazy. I just, you know, kind of pick and choose what works. But at the moment I've been co-washing my hair, which is only using conditioner to wash my hair. So I don't, I only shampoo once a month.
Oh my God. Once a month. Oh my God.
Yeah. But I wash it with conditioner because shampoo actually like strips all the goodness out of your hair and makes it go all limp. Well, this is only for curly girls, I assume, but it makes your hair go all like limp and dry. And yeah, my hair is just in the best condition it's been in years. And that's also another shout out to Chrissy from Hair Romance, because she's been really good at guiding me through the CG process and also being like, yeah, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Don't worry about that lady that yelled at you using a non-CG approved product in the Facebook group. So yeah, for curly girls, look up the curly girl method and proceed with caution. But if you have any questions, I'm here to help, and so is Chrissy from Hair Romance.
Because Chrissy is in our Facebook group, the Straight and Curly Facebook group, and she's awesome. She will always help you. She's
fabulous. Like,
she loves doing that. My second thing is the idea, and you know, this is, I guess, almost underpins our show, the idea that we are all experiments of one. And I kind of really had this hit home for me recently because I did the and you've done this, Carl. I did the DNA testing through 23andMe. And
yeah, I did that.
And then really crucially, because they send you results and you have no idea what they mean, had Karen from Real Energy Food. She came out and she interpreted all the results for me. You should talk to Karen. She's brilliant.
I'm going to. I'm so excited. Yes,
because it just like I got the results and I was like, well, I can sort of understand what's going on here, but I still need someone to go through and just tell me what's happening. And yeah, it was so fascinating. And what I took away from chatting with Karen was how we have to be so careful to give when it comes to giving advice around, oh, this thing worked for me, so everybody should do it, because, you know, just because this, and you know, I think I've been pretty good over the years of saying this thing worked for me, give it a go. And if it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, well, you know, let's try something else. But yeah, that consultation with Karen just really hammered home that, yeah, all our bodies set up differently and we all respond to different things in different ways. So what has, you know, and I guess you and I are a good example of that. Like you and I have completely different bodies.
Totally, you know, different.
And they respond in different ways to exercise and to food and to sleep and to, you know, and, you know, we have to be careful about assuming that what works well for us works well for everyone else. But yeah, it was just interesting to see that, like, because I've been self-experimenting for basically my whole life and I've figured out things along the way, and it was so cool to get the DNA testing back and see that, you know, the DNA testing really supported the things that I have figured out about myself, even things like from a sporting aspect. Like I always gravitated when I did triathlon and running, I gravitated to the half Ironman distance. I never did a full Ironman. I never really loved the sprint, you know, the shorter sprint events. The half Ironman was my best event. For running, the half marathon is my best event. And it was just interesting to see the DNA come back and see that, you know, the way that my muscles are composed and various other, you know, my VO2 and stuff, it all points to the fact that I have good strength endurance. So I don't have great endurance. Like I'm not going to do a 50K run and do particularly well. And I don't have great sprint ability, like sprint strength, but I've got, yeah, that good strength endurance thing. So it was just, yeah, it was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. So I highly recommend, I just think everyone should do it. It's not cheap. I think it was $500-ish for...
See, we got in, it got more expensive as time went on. We got it for $99 in the original because they funded like a million people doing it in the first round just so that they could get all the info, and then it slowly went up the more people
did it. Well, my $500 included the consult with Karen, so I'm not sure how much what the DNA testing component of it was, but even though it's not cheap, I think it's so interesting to do because she tells you things like she told me I can eat carbs, like she, but I don't respond that well to wheat. So, I don't have to cut back carbs if I'm trying to lose weight, but I need to have, yeah, I need to check wheat. I'm not, you know, I'm fine with gluten, but, yeah, there's something about wheat that doesn't agree with my body. And actually this is what I've discovered through, you know, through my own self-experimentation. And it just, yeah, it teaches you. I remember Darren Rouse, he did the same testing. He said it was great because, you know, I'd cut out carbs because I was trying to lose weight. And then, you know, I did the testing with Karen and she told me I can have carbs. And then I started eating carbs and I lost weight. So I think it's
God, I hope she's not.
I remember Darren told me that.
I don't think she will though.
I was like, please tell me I can have carbs. Please tell me I can have carbs. And she's like, you can have carbs. God. And I was like, yes. But yeah, I don't think she's going to tell you that.
Nope.
Okay. So your third thing, carbs.
My third thing is a guy called Sam Bain. He's a British writer and he's responsible for some of my favorite shows ever, which is Peep Show, Fresh Meat, which is available on Netflix. If you haven't watched Fresh Meat, it is a delight. It's so funny. It's about six college-aged kids living in a share house in Manchester. It's so funny. And very recently, he also wrote Ill Behavior. So these are the best, three of the best shows I've ever watched. And he just writes these really incredible, complex and endearing characters. So Ill Behavior is extremely dark. So just be warned. I'm pretty sure it's currently available on either one of the on-demands like SBS or ABC or something. So it only just finished, so get in quick because it should still be available to watch on demand. But it's about two friends who have a mate who's trying to self-cure cancer with natural remedies, and this guy refuses to have chemo. So they kidnap him and force him to have chemo. It's completely horrific and amazing. And it also just questions – it just makes you question – how far you can push your own ideals onto other people, even if you are totally correct.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was really good. Like there was a bit of self-reflection in there as well, but it's also horrific. Like there are things that happen in that show where I was watching it going, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. Oh my God, they just did. Oh wow. So it's really, really good. And so if you ever see Sam Bain's name on anything, on any Britcom, watch it because he's brilliant. And he's also really good at writing for different genders. So he will often just write characters. And then when they audition it, when they audition these characters, they've all got quite genderless names, and just sometimes he'll just change a character from a man to a woman just by changing the name because he saw an actor that played that character better than he thought the gender that he wrote it for. Yeah, so he's really, really cool. He's really interesting. Yeah, so Sam Bain.
Awesome. Okay. So my third one is the minimalism slow living movement. So yes, again, and again, with every movement, there are going to be the hardcore, evangelical, totally over the top, dogmatic people. But there are also generally always going to be people that kind of adopt the movement and do it their way. And that's why I really like how Brooke and Ben from – so Brooke's my Let It Be co-host. Let It Be's on hiatus at the moment because Brooke and Ben moved to Canada for the year.
You guys will come back to
it. Yeah, it'll be – yeah, we will. We need a year to reflect, I think. We kind of tapped out our – how much self-reflection we could do, I reckon. But I love Brooke and Ben's approach to the minimalism and slow living movement. So first of all, with minimalism, a lot of people, it's been co-opted as an aesthetic, like, you know, whitewashed walls and no furniture and succulents in concrete pots and, you know.
And surfaces, darling, surfaces.
Oh, seriously. And that's just not what minimalism is about. It's just about being more with less. And, you know, it doesn't mean being more with nothing, you know, and everybody's version of less is different. So they just believe that minimalism is just more of a mindset and than an aesthetic, and your minimalism will look different to other people's minimalism. Your slow living will look different to other people's slow living. And yeah, they're just very inclusive and empowering in how they go about it. So, you know, I find it, if I can't imagine that anyone who listens to this podcast doesn't already follow Ben and Brooke at Slow Your Home podcast. But if you haven't heard of it yet, yes, go and look them up. Yeah, your number four.
So, my number four is giving blood and organ donation. So this is something that people forget about a lot. So I like to remind them, try to give blood as often as you can. I think it's every 6 weeks you're allowed to do it, and it's every 2 weeks for plasma. Don't quote me. Make sure that you look that up. Like, I don't want you, you know, fainting in the street because you're like, I must give blood every 6 weeks. But just make sure that you give blood as regularly as you can. And I'm pretty sure that you can book yourself to do it online these days. Look, there's no pressure. It's just a friendly reminder that it's super important and you should do it. And please, please, please make sure that you are on the organ donation registry. It's one of my weird causes where I just think it's horrific that
it's an opt-in
parents still need
thing
to
in
be
Australia
it's
well
opt-in and you they still have to ask your loved one. So if you have the opt-out system, they don't have to ask because they just assume that you are, and then when they look on your registry and they see that you've opted out, then they don't have to, like, it just takes that horrible conversation away from those really awful moments when people are asked about organ donation. And yes, please give blood, particularly because it's highly likely that you will need to receive blood one day, and I just think it makes the world go round, literally.
Agree, yes. My fourth one is my friend Alex Stewart and her low-tox living movement. So again, Alex is very non-dogmatic and just encourages people. What I love most about what she does is she encourages people to just start where you are and start small. So she doesn't say, oh my gosh, you've got to go through your entire house and everything that is bad, throw it out. Like, she just says, when that thing runs out, whether it's a shampoo or makeup,
glad wrap.
When it runs out, then just see if you can stop using it and replace it with something else. If your Teflon pans, which are basically all the pans in my house, when they get a bit old and grungy and it's time to replace them with stainless steel pans. You know, so it's just little things like that. And it's just, yeah, she just goes about things in quite a gentle and inclusive way, and it's just a nice approach to it all. So, yes.
She's also really good with things like if you actually can't switch to a low-tox version of something, she said you get free passes, and she's got a few free passes. There was something she wrote about the underwear that her husband and her son wear. I don't know what brand it is, but it's not quite in alignment with her values. And she says, look, it's really, really close, and it's the kind that they prefer, and it's comfortable. And she's like, I'm using a free pass on that. So you don't have to. And like, one of my free passes is mascara. So I use a lot of natural products because the Curly Girl method is naturally quite it's a low chemical kind of a thing anyway. And I use a lot of low chemical stuff on my face, but I cannot use natural mascara. It just
doesn't do it.
ends up all over my face and it's just, I can't. And I tried three or four different kinds and they're expensive, man. Oh, yeah. Like they're really like a natural mascara and I'm like, I can't do it. I just have to go back to my CoverGirl.
Yeah.
Pink and green tube. Yeah. I'm like, I can't get away from it. That's my favorite. And I'm sorry. And I'm probably poisoning my eyeballs, but I can't do it.
I'm a big fan of anything that gives you free passes within reason. So
So my fifth one is Michael Mosley. He does excellent research on gut health and fasting-related diets. I've followed so much of his advice in the last few years with really excellent results. And he also really puts his money where his mouth is and does lots of self-experimentation. Mm. And that's what we're all about. Like we would never tell you to do a thing that we hadn't tried for ourselves or done extensive research into and seen, you know, some really good results from that. So yeah, I just really appreciate him. And I think he's very sensible. And he's not a he's also just his gut health and fasting related stuff isn't even his main shtick. He does a whole bunch of other stuff. So he just happened to stumble upon this cool thing. He's not like Dr. Atkins and telling everyone to, you know, drown themselves in bacon fat every day. Like there's a whole lot of different stuff that he does as well. So yeah, Michael Mosley.
Yeah, I like him because he's sensible and responsible and and I do appreciate the self-experimentation that he does as well. So thank you, Michael. So my fifth one is, as a parent who is, you know, who's got kids growing up in the new digital age, and I have a real aversion to hysteria. So, you know, those every sick, you know, article where it's like, iPads are killing your children. And it's like, oh my God, my kid was on an iPad for half an hour today. I'm the worst mum. So I really love Martine Oglethorpe from The Modern Parent. So, you know, aside from being just one of the loveliest humans you will ever meet, Martine genuinely understands how tricky things are for kids these days in this current era. So, you know, it's tempting for parents to just go like hardcore and ban all devices or not let their kids have a mobile phone until they're 18. But, you know, as she points out, there are social, like there are genuine social ramifications for, you know, kids of a certain age if they're not able to do certain things or if they're not able to engage with their friends in the way that they want to be engaged with. And the reality is kids are engaging online these days. So, you know, and I just think life at school is hard enough without adding to being a, you know, making yourself a social outcast because your kids, your parents won't let you have a phone. So if you're kind of struggling to manage kids and social media and device usage, I just find that Martine is a really sensible, well-considered person to follow. So, you know, if you're unsure about something, yeah, if I'm ever unsure about something, I just see what she says about it and I go with that because, yeah, everything she does is very well thought out and it's coming from both the, it's meeting in the middle between the kids and the parents, and I think that's really crucial.
That's a good one, Kelly.
Thanks.
Just for all the parents out there. So my number six is Reese Witherspoon's book club. So I've started reading fiction again this year for the first time in years, and I'm absolutely loving it. My issue was that I was kind of just randomly trying to find books to read, and now I just get people. It's terrible. And now I just get people to recommend them. So I had a whole bunch of people recommend The Dry and Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. So I read both of those this year and they were so good. They're completely different. Yeah. But they're both just a really, really good, solid read. And I took one of them away camping and another one away for a weekend away. And it's just so nice to just, you know, relax with a book. And it just kind of takes you out of the world in a way that other things don't make you go out of the world.
Is that a weird way to put it? That's why I read fiction is total escapism and also to learn, about situations that I will never encounter myself and may probably don't want to encounter. And it just makes me more empathetic to situations that, you know, that I've not encountered. So, yeah, I love fiction for that. And I, my friend Vanessa from Style and Shenanigans, she's got a book club, a Style and Shenanigans book club. But yeah, I just basically read everything that she recommends. But she reads so much, it's hard to keep up. But yeah, her recommendations are always really solid. And then it's good because I can debrief with her once I've read it and gone, oh, my God, this happened. What did you think?
Speaking of Vanessa, the other day she posted a link to a dress from a shop called Jericho Road Clothing. I think they're based in Queensland. And it's like a shift dress in kind of like that real smaggle yeah. kind of aquary turquoisey color. And it's got this beautiful horse print all over
yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
it's the Daryl Braithwaite
and
one.
It's, yes, it's called the Daryl Braithwaite dress. And my friend Kate from Secret Bloggers Business tagged me in it and said, this is the most you dress I've ever seen. I bought it immediately and it arrived yesterday and it is the best dress I've ever bought. It is so good. It's so good. It's 100% cotton. It's fully lined. It's smaggle colored. It's like the perfect cut. It fits perfectly. You do need to size up though if you're going to buy one. And it was on sale from like $180 to $80.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, Vanessa is the dress queen. She
is.
Like her wardrobe is they're building a house at the moment. And I think the wardrobe is like the highlight of the new house for her because now she's going to have space for all. But yeah, she has, yeah, I love her style. Her body's totally different to mine. So I can't copy her style. But I get great voyeuristic, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but I get great pleasure by seeing what dress is V wearing today because she just, yeah, she's got great taste.
It was so good. I just needed to give a shout out because you were mentioning her anyway and I was like, well, do I have a story about V?
she will be so stoked yes. to hear that. I hope you tell her that.
Oh, no, I haven't yet because I'm going to put it on Instagram. This episode will come out way after it because I'll do a post on the dress because it's the greatest thing ever. But this episode will go out way after that.
Oh, cool.
So, So Reese Witherspoon's book club and the two books that I've loved in the last few weeks, someone said, oh, they're both recommended by Reese Witherspoon. So I started following Reese Witherspoon and I've only been reading her books and it's all excellent.
Excellent. Well, I've got a book club as well that's not Vanessa's book club. So this is a non-fiction book club and it's called the Next Big Idea Book Club. And I just couldn't not join in because it's been started by four of my favorite thinkers. So Malcolm Gladwell, Adam Grant, Susan Cain, who wrote Quiet, The Power of Introverts, and Dan Pink, who's written a great deal of great books. They started a book club where they kind of send you out. So if you're in Australia, you don't get the book, you get an ebook. But if you're in the US, you get like a box with the books in it, lucky you. So they recommend two books every quarter and then they discuss them in the group and they interview the authors and they give their own thoughts. And I'm really excited about it. So yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting. The first book off the rank actually is called Endurance and it's completely up my alley because it's about, you know, endurance sporting performance and how, you know, what's the difference between people who are really great at these long distance events and aren't. But yeah, I'm finding it really hard going despite having like this really deep personal interest in it. And, you know, I've studied this stuff at uni as well. So I'm interested that they pick this book and how the average person is going to find it. But ultimately, yeah, it's a really cool nonfiction book club if you are looking for one. Next one, Carls.
Oh, did you do your six? Yes. Oh, that was your six. Sorry.
I skipped numbers now. I'm messing with you. I'm moving my numbers around because I'm like, well, you're doing a book club one. I'll do a book club one.
Because that's kind of related. So my number seven is just a little fun one, but it's a woman called Celeste Barber. And if you haven't started following her on Instagram, you have to. So she does parodies of weird things that models do on Instagram and she's fucking hysterical. I just like, I have such a big belly laugh every time she pops up on my feed. She's just a delight. If you see, my favorite one ever was there was this like weird hot couple, like an older guy and a younger girl doing this like weird dance on a yacht and then her and her husband parodied it and so they snap themselves in between. She's hysterical and she calls herself an accidental model because she's just accidentally a model and she's so funny. I just love her a lot.
I love her because she kind of points out like how we just think this stuff is normal now, like these poses that people put of themselves on Instagram, like we just skim past that and go, oh yeah, of course this is just like someone catching this person in the moment of looking like this, and we don't actually stop to think about it. And she kind of makes us go, hang on guys, this isn't everyday life, like these people aren't just, you know, being caught in a candid pose here. This is, you know, this is all heavily posed stuff. And it makes you realize, oh yeah, that I do not need to be aspiring to this person because this is their job. And yeah.
And also just like some really inappropriate stuff. Like there was a photo of like these models that are sisters and they were kind of naked and straddling each other. And then so her and her sister did a similar one where they were like straddling each other and squishing their faces up against each other and kind of sticking their fingers up each other's noses and stuff. And you're like, yeah, that's really inappropriate. And I never even thought it was until Celeste was like, look.
Yeah, you go from going, well, that's really arty to like, no, that's actually really weird.
No.
Like, why were you doing that?
Probs don't.
Cool. So I've got an Instagram person to follow as well. And that is Gemma Carell. So she is an illustrator and a cartoonist. And Brooke, my Let It Be co-host Brooke, she told me about Gemma ages ago. She said, Kelly, she is totally your people. And she so is. She does brilliant cartoons about introversion and overthinking and anxiety. So if you two are like me, Gemma Carell is your people. She always, her cartoons just always put a smile on my face because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's – she gets me. She gets me. So, yeah.
My number eight is heart rate training. So a few years ago, I had Ben design a weight loss running program based on some heart rate training research that he was doing for the time for a fitness app, and it worked really well. And then I just kind of stopped doing it, and I'm really keen to give it another shot. So I'm totally out of the loop on all the info of that at the moment, but I'm ready to delve back in and I'll let you know what I find. But back then I was kind of doing a short run and then resting 2 days and then doing a long run and then kind of, and it would change every week. And it was just I don't know what it was doing, but it was working really well. So I'll, I'm going to get back into that and I'll let you know how I go.
Interesting. I have something that I too am trialing, different to that, is exercising for 15 minutes a day, but hard.
Ooh.
So yeah. So my friend Danielle Colley, Colley, what is she on Instagram as? I think The Holsbys, H-O-L.
The Holsbys, yeah.
H-O-L-S-B-Y-S. So she recently wrote an article where just outlining the fact that she had swapped her 3-day-a-week, 1-hour gym workouts for daily 15-minute workouts. But as a rule, unless she was tired and then she kind of did a 15-minute yoga workout or something, but her workouts were intense. And she posted before and after pictures, which I'm total sucker for because they were real to, you know, before and after, like not like airbrushed, you know, not like belly out before and then sucked in belly after kind of photos. It was really interesting, the results, and the difference is really noticeable. So I am trialing this approach now that I can do hard stuff again. I couldn't for a while because my knee was stuffed, but my knee will not let me run at the moment, but it will let me go hard on the rower, which is just so great because the rower is just this giant torture machine. But anyway.
I hate the rower too.
It's just like.
And I'm actually built like a rower, so I don't know why.
It's so horrible. It's so great because it uses every part of your body, but it's horrible because it uses every part of your body. So
like burpees. Yes. Like you can't half do a burpee. That's the thing that I hate about it. If I'm doing any other exercise and I'm tired, you can kind of start to slack off, but you can't slack off in a burpee, otherwise you just are lying on the floor.
You're just face down going like a turtle. But,
it's like, guys, I'm still doing it. I'm halfway through my burpee. I'm gonna finish it like any second now. Oh, for real.
They are the worst when you're tired. I am trialing this kind of 15 minutes a day but go hard for 15 minutes thing, and I will report back in 8 weeks with the results.
I would be interested in trying that. I won't for two reasons. One, because what I'm doing right now is working, so I'm going to not disturb it
every day.
And that's pretty – like there's 15 minutes of intense in that anyway, a bit more. One reason why I would like to try it is because Danielle is already quite a slim person and you are as well. So I'm wondering how that would work for someone who isn't sort of already within a healthy weight range.
And so it's like it's like, what am I trying to lose? Because I did, you know, thanks to my cleaner pointing it out, I did put on a little bit of weight when my knee was stuck.
If
anyone remembers from the last episode, a little bit heartbreaking. But so what am I trying to lose? Like 2 or 3 kilos, which is the really hard kilos to lose. And I'm just trying to get back to having a nicely toned body, which again, I also lost. So I'm interested to see, Yeah, I think it will be effective because I know for a fact that my body responds well to high intensity exercise. So it's just, yeah, but I do notice that I'll kind of go hard for 3 days in a row and then I need to kind of have a bit of a lighter run day. But Danielle did say that, you know, she said that was fine when she did it, having just the few, you know, a day, a lighter run day, but she still did the exercise for 15 minutes was important. So yeah, talking 8 weeks.
Good one. My number 9, I've recommended this so many times and I talk about it constantly, but it's my favorite podcast, My Favorite Murder. And this is, it's another re-recommendation, but I just love Karen and Georgia and everything they do. If you're not into true crime, that's totally cool. But these girls are just so incredibly sensible and excellent. They also do amazing work and donate money to get cold cases solved. And they also have this really beautiful mantra of protecting each other and taking care of each other. It's such a weird podcast to recommend to people because it is about murder and it's horrific, but I just adore it and I get sad every week when I listen to their episode and I have to wait another week for the next one. I just get so much joy out of it and I just like I save their podcast for, you know, when I'm doing the grocery shopping or when I'm doing something that's quite boring. And yeah, I just really love them. And I know that it's such a weird thing to recommend because everyone's like, ew, why do you want to talk about murder? But I'm like, oh, but Karen and Georgia are just so great. So yeah, that was, yeah, I just love them.
Lovely. Oh, I'm not sure I'll listen, but because I don't like murders, yeah. But good to know.
That's fair enough.
I'll tell Ant about them. So my number 9 thing is pointless passions. So I have a pointless passion and I'm going to write a blog post about it soon in that. And when
can't wait to hear this.
By pointless, I mean it serves no useful purpose in my life. Like I just love doing it. So my pointless passion is I just love other people's houses and looking at other people's houses from the inside, the outside. I love looking at landscaping. I drive past houses and I like, oh, I really like that. I love like they have an open house here in Perth, like where you get to kind of walk through houses that are quite cool. And two of the houses that I love like allowed you to walk through them. And I was devastated because we were down south the weekend. But that's my hobby. Like if you are building a house and you have house plans and no one wants to talk to you about them because they are so bored, I am the person to talk to because I'm like, show me your house plans. And I'm obsessed with them. So yeah. And it's like I said, I can't use this passion in any useful way. Like we have built a house, we live in it. It's all done. This passion serves me.
But you're still doing it.
I'm still doing it and I'm obsessed with it. And it's just like, he just does not understand it. And I'm like, well, what do you watch Grand Designs? Like, you know, we've built a house, we're never building one again. But it's just that kind of thing of like, I love how people build out their houses. I love how they furnish them. I love seeing how people have furnished houses, even when I would never furnish my house in that way or decorate in that way. And yeah, and it's interesting to me because when I think about it, when I go back to when I was a kid, like I used to have like those kits where you could interior design a house. Like,
oh yeah,
do you remember those? And yeah, I was doing it even back then. So but I get great pleasure out of it. I follow architects and builders and landscape architects and all kinds of people on Instagram where I just get to look at these beautiful interiors and befores and afters. And I love it. But there's no point other than just straight pleasure. And I really feel that we should all have a pointless passion. That's my point.
I thought of one that I have and it's really weird.
besides murders because you're not really going to murder someone.
Yeah, besides murders. No, actually that is a very pointless passion. I will absolutely give you that. I like novelty-sized objects. So I like really, really big things and really, really small things. So if I go into a shop and they've got like a little miniature version of a regular size thing, I'll be like, oh my God, look how cute this is. Or if like we're driving through a state in Australia and I know that there's like a big banana or like a big thing, I'm like, we have to go see the big thing. Like let's go, obviously go and do that. Or when you go through airports and they have like giant Mars bars that are a kilo and you can only buy them at the airport, I'm just, anything that is not its regular size excites me greatly.
You always have to one up me in how random you can be. Like,
no, know, I just overshare. That's the thing. This is the kind of thing that people think in their own head and they're like, oh my God, I can't ever tell anyone that I get really excited by like little mini salt and pepper shakers. Like I was on a plane once and they had these tiny little salt and pepper shakers because I was in first class, the only time I've ever flown first class. And instead of giving me packets of salt and pepper, they're these tiny little salt and pepper shakers. I was just like, I stopped talking and just stared at them for like 5 minutes. And I was with Kate from Secret Bloggers Business and she was like,
you're okay? Right. Going,
look at how little these are. They're so cute. And then my brain exploded.
Okay. Your 10th thing.
Oh, is it my turn? Sorry. I was just like... So my 10th thing is Louis Theroux. So if you haven't watched any of his docos, you need to watch them. He has this incredibly even and just way of representing people, and he covers the most controversial topics like prostitution and drug addiction, Nazis and pedophiles, but it's just not sensationalist at all. I just finish every one of his shows feeling better informed and more understanding of people who are different to me. If you are looking for somewhere to start with Louis Theroux, start with the Westboro Baptist Church episodes because they are spectacular.
Yeah. Do you know what his great talent in life is meeting people where they are. No judgment.
Oh,
just
hands down.
Yeah. It is such a great and amazing gift that he has for that. It's yeah.
He also speaks to everyone in the same way. So if he's speaking to a 5-year-old or a pedophile or an old lady or a Nazi, they all get the same tone and treatment.
Yeah, it's a amazing skill. Okay, so my final thing is the final person I think you should follow if you are this way inclined is Ira Glass. So he's the producer and creator of This American Life, and he advised Sarah Koenig and Julie Snyder on Serial, and he advised, I can't remember the guy who did S-Town, but he advised him as well.
John something?
John McElmore was the guy who was, it was about Brian.
The guy who did it. The other guy.
He works at This American Life. He took a year to do S-Town and then kind of had to go back to working at This American Life like the next day after it launched. Like Ira was like, you coming back now? I got work for you to do. So I think Ira Glass is just one of the great world's greatest storytellers, and his understanding of narrative is just second to none, and I love listening to him. And so if you're a writer, or even if you just love reading and you want to read with greater appreciation of the narrative and the storytelling that you are experiencing, look up Ira Glass, and especially look up Ideas in the House. So he went to Sydney Opera House and he did like a workshop with journalism and video students. And it's just super interesting, that podcast episode. You will learn so much about storytelling and what drives narrative and what drives story just from that, 1 hour ep. It's, yeah, amazing. So, yes.
I second that recommendation. Ira Glass is a genius.
He's amazing.
And that just about wraps up this episode. So don't forget that we do have a book available for sale. It's about diets and lifestyle detoxes, so things that you can try to cut out of your life and see what works. It could be coffee. It could be, your phone. Could be wheat, that kind of stuff. You can buy it at straightandcurly.com and just click on the book tab. And we also have a Patreon page.
Yes, and we have two goals for our Patreon page. And the first one is to reach $500 a month of pledges. And we're already a quarter of the way to that goal. So thank you to everybody who has supported us. And if you do love listening to the show and you're like, how can I support these guys? Just visit patreon.com/straightandcurly. And Carls, who are our newest patrons?
Our newest patrons are Emma and Jane. Thank you so much for supporting us. You guys are just legends. Every time I see a little Patreon thing pop up, I'm like, oh, people are so nice. And it's just like, most people are pledging $4 a month, which equals out to be $1 per episode. And that's less than a cup of coffee in Melbourne now. It is anyway. Like, I haven't bought a coffee for less than $4.50 in a very long time.
Yeah, don't come to Perth. You'll die at how much we pay for coffee over here. Okay, and that's it, guys. So if you want to jump into the Facebook group and have a chat about this episode, I was going to say, tell us your three, things or movements or people we should be following. But actually, I want to hear what your pointless passion is. So jump in the group, share your pointless passion, and let's all a good giggle at each other. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.